We began a journey 2 weeks ago in a series called Approved. And we've been talking about how since the time we were little children, we longed for the approval of a mother and a father. And even into adulthood, we still search for that approval, whether it's in a boss or in a friend or in a next door neighbor. But one of the things that we experience early on as adults is that any approval that we seek after in men is going to be met with disappointment somewhere along the way. And the reason is simple. They're not God, right? Because what we're really after when we're seeking for the approval of man, whether we realize it or not, we're really after the approval of God. That can God look down on our lives? Can he look into our hearts and can he say, yes, I approve. Yes, I give you my stamp and my seal that says what you are doing is right and good. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the statement of I am forgiven, and we left that morning knowing that, yes, in Jesus Christ, that God can stamp us with this seal that says, yes, you are forgiven, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from. Last week, we looked at the statement that I am a new creation and left again knowing that God can stamp us with this seal that says, yes, I can make all things brand new and I can transform in your life something that has never been there before and make it brand new. Today, we look at one that is equally as challenging for many of us in this room. And the statement is simple. I am a part of God's plan. Can the God of the universe that spoke the world into creation, can he really reach down here to Kyle, Texas? I mean, Kyle, Texas, in Dallas and Fort Worth, they don't even know that Kyle exists. They don't know where to find that on a map. Can he really reach down here to Kyle, Texas, to our lives and use us as a part of his plan? Well, let's look in the Bible in Ephesians in chapter 2 in verse 10. We read what the Apostle Paul wrote as he said this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Isn't that incredible? I mean, we're his workmanship. He created us, not just to be bumps on a log, not just to be somebody who sits on the bench, who never enters a game. He created us for good works that he prepared before us. We can walk in those good works. God has a plan for you and I. Even here in Kyle, Texas, even with your past the way that it is, God has a plan for us so we can be a part of it. How does that work? I mean, if this is the case, I want it, right? Sign me up. How does it work where God can stamp us then with this one and say, yes, you are a part of my plan? Well, let's dig just a little bit deeper in Ephesians chapter 2. He starts off in verse 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship." So we need to just understand who is he talking about here. We find that just a few verses before in verse 8. Where he states a verse that many of us know by memory. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. You see, he says that his grace has been given to us. What is that gift? It's our salvation. That when we believe that Jesus is Lord, when we believe that the cross has forgiven our sins, when we believe that the resurrection has given us life, that the Lord saves us by his grace. And this is through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. So who is we? It's those who are saved. And church, make no mistake about this. When you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you enter into God's plan for your life. If you never enter into salvation by believing in Jesus, you're still going to be part of his plan, but you're not going to fulfill what he wants for your life, his plan for you personally. For we are his workmanship. Now, did you see how it said that in verse 8? That his grace is what works the salvation in us. So grace comes from the Lord, right? It's his gift to us. Here's another way of saying it. God has chosen you for salvation. Y'all remember playing kickball in kindergarten? Anybody? Come on, everybody. It's a repressed memory for some people, but we've put it away. Why do we put it away? Because we stood along a dugout at the elementary school, and the two most popular kids in kickball were chosen to be captains, and they started going through, right, looking at you one by one. Ooh, you're the fastest. You're on my team. Ooh, you can kick the ball further than anybody. You're on my team, and you're just sitting there praying and sweating. Please don't let me be last. Please don't let me be last. Pick me, right? And do you understand what this is saying? It's not a popular kid doing this. The God of the universe wants to bestow his grace upon you. You are chosen by God's grace. That is awesome. And we don't grow out of that need as an adult. What do we watch on Friday? We watched an inauguration take place, right? And what was the theme of many speakers through the day of the inauguration? Guys, let's be a part of the United States of America. It's not about being Democrat. It's not about being Republican. Let's join together and be a part of something bigger than you are in this great nation. We fast forward just one day from happy inauguration, and what do we see? Crowds gathered in all the capitals of women marching. And what are they saying? Ladies, come and join us for our rights, because be a part of something that is bigger than you. Let's make this statement that we're valuable, that we're worth something, right? And the same thing that we were sweating about in kindergarten is still on our lips and on our hearts today, to come and be a part of something bigger. Church, what God is doing in his grace is bigger than being a Democrat, bigger than being a Republican, and yes, bigger than the nation of the United States of America. He is calling you to be a part of his plan, of a plan that he wove together before the foundations of the earth were laid, with you in mind for that plan. He says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. God is working. When we look at this first statement, for we are God's workmanship, what do we know? We know that God is working. And it's amazing how God is working, right? We talked about this 2 weeks ago, that sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we're in the desert, sometimes we're in the fertile place, sometimes we're in the valley, sometimes we're in the mountain, but you can guarantee this, that God is working. You know, this is the strangest creature that I have ever encountered, this little bug. It's the most selfish bug on the face of the earth, I think. All it does is eat all the time. From the time that it comes out as a little caterpillar, it's just consuming everything that's around it. Now, it doesn't have good legs. I'm sure if I was in its class, I would have made fun of it, right? It doesn't have good legs. So whenever it tries to travel, can you imagine the difficulty just to get over these rocks? I mean, it's scraping itself, and all its purpose is then to consume, to the place where it gets so fat in itself that it lays upside down, almost unable to move, and a cocoon is wrapped around it. We know that's not the end, right? Even the greatest scientists are perplexed by what happens in here, and some use this word to describe it. The caterpillar has to die for it to be transformed into its original intent, into a butterfly. And at one point, then, what was selfish now has been transformed into something that even the greatest scientists are perplexed about what it is and how it works. And suddenly it has a purpose. It doesn't just go around consuming things. Suddenly it goes around from plant to plant, and it's pollinating. It's helping others. It's helping the plants. It's helping the other insects. It's helping animals. It's making life more beautiful. Church, I guarantee you this, that God is working. How do I know that? Because Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. That is the work that is complete in God. And now today, the Holy Spirit is using that work to transform lives. What does it look like? Amazingly, he gave us an example in a caterpillar and a butterfly. We looked at this statement last week where it says we are created in him. And now only God can create. Only God can do something like the caterpillar and the butterfly, where out of something that is selfish, right, out of something that is consumed with sin and consumed with our lives, that he reaches down by his power and he creates something brand new. We might not have even known that was in us to begin with. It wasn't. He placed it within us. And out of that comes something that can be used as a part of God's plan. Now, a lot of you in this church, you don't struggle with anything that I've said so far. You say, yeah, I know he died for me, right? He were created, and that's great. And you know it in your head. But what you struggle with is when you stand in front of the mirror trying to understand, can God use me how I am? Because a lot of us would want to change this verse to say, we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and that was great, but now he's just not going to use me anymore. Because a lot of your lives, that's what it reflects. Oh my goodness, I've been divorced too many times, and so I can't be used by God. Oh, I don't have the education that it's going to take to be used by God. I don't have enough money. I've never made enough money to be used by God. And we allow the enemy to put all of these lies into our heart that keep us powerless and lame. When church, the mighty work of Jesus Christ and the cross wants to be displayed in your life through God. God created you to be something brand new that he could use to make this world beautiful in his kingdom. We are created in Christ Jesus. Look at this. This is the new stuff for this week. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. Now, when we look at this word in the Greek, it means profitable. It means useful, beneficial. Can you put that instead of good? You were created in Christ Jesus to be useful, to be profitable, to be beneficial. You weren't created in Christ to be a doormat. You weren't created in Christ Jesus to be on the end of the dugout fence where you just kind of, you know you're going to be picked last, and so you suddenly slip off into where it looks like you never intended to play kickball in the first place. That's not what you were created for. For good works. Now, I used to be confused on this verse. I used to think that the works were what it was all about. It's not the case. In fact, I love the story of the old story of the man who was drowning when the floods came. And we're a little bit sensitive to floods in this region, so this story relates to me pretty well. You know, the floodwaters rose up and he's drowning in this boat, motors by him and says, man, I'm so glad we found you. Here, pull into the boat, let me rescue you. But the man has such faith in God that he says, no, God is going to rescue me. Look at him kind of strange. Okay, buddy. You know, and they motor off in the boat. Well, he still struggles and he swims there sooner or later. A helicopter comes flying over and they shout down with a megaphone, we're going to lower a rope down, grab hold, and we're going to drag you to safety. And he shouts back up, no, God is going to save me. And he keeps struggling, he keeps swimming, and he drowns and he dies. And he stands before the Lord and he says, Lord, I had faith that you were going to save me. And God says, what are you talking about? I sent you a boat and a helicopter. Why didn't you grab hold, right? No, I love that analogy because I like making fun of the guy because I think he's stupid, right? And that's a lot of times what we do when we look at other people's life, because we can fix everybody else's life, can't we? Man, I look at your life and why don't you do this? It's like God's laying this right in front of you. We can fix other people's lives, but how much more difficult is it to look in the mirror and fix what's in here and allow God to penetrate what's in here? See, some of us in great faith, we're waiting on works to be done. Right? As if God is going to throw a lightning bolt out of heaven and boom, you're supposed to go to South America and minister to orphans. And yes, I was waiting on this one thing, God, and now I know what the purpose of my life is. And now I know what your plan is. Right? Or, oh, boom, now I know I'm supposed to go and feed the homeless that are under the bridge in downtown Austin. And we're waiting for these things and we're wondering, God, what are you doing? Guys, we don't wait on the works. You know that the purpose of this passage right here is the fact that we can do good works. Because I want to tell you this, before I knew Jesus Christ, I didn't have a shot at doing anything good. I thought that I could do something good, maybe better than something else, but when it came to impacting eternity, they were worthless and powerless. On your own, you have no hope to do anything good. Well, then how come with Jesus, suddenly I can do good stuff? That's not what the verse says. That's not what he's talking about here in Ephesians 2. Do you understand that Christ is good? And when we meet him in salvation, he calls us up into the heavenly realms with him. And so we grab hold of him and he is what is good. And he calls us to join him in his goodness and in his work. That's how it works. It's not of my own will. It's of God's will that goodness is taking place in my life around me. We don't wait for the works. We wait for God to transform our hearts, to make the work good. Man, if you would leave with one thing today, I wish it would be this. Stop getting hung up on what you are supposed to do and start being faithful with what he's put right in front of you to do. What does God want you to do with the people that are right in front of you? What does he want you to do with the tasks that he's placed right in front of you? Let's start being faithful with those things and see what else he leads you to. I want to understand this in a little greater context. So if you stay in Ephesians 2, I just want to go back to the first verse of Ephesians 2. What makes Ephesians interesting to me is that it's really difficult to start in any verse. Paul just connects everything in Ephesians so strongly. He begins like in verse 1 with chapter 2 saying, and. So we really need to know all of chapter 1. And I'm sorry, I'm going to do a disservice and still just start right here in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says this, and you can't escape that word, right? This isn't, and my wife. This isn't, and my kids. This is you looking at the mirror right here. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among who we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Oh, that describes us. You know, I'm looking at the crowds at the inauguration, and there were people in there whose sole hope in their life was Donald Trump. I'm sorry, but that's not hope at all. And there are people, when he's talking about change, they're just crying because thankfully we're here. And then the very next day, how ironic in our country that the very next day, there are people walking the streets, even here in Austin, and they're crying. And their hope is that 4 years from now, somebody other than Donald Trump will step into the presidency. That's not hope at all. And Paul says, we used to be like them. We used to be caught up in what was on Facebook more than we did with what the Lord wanted us to. We used to be caught up more with what's being tweeted out than we did with what God really wanted from our lives. And we were tossed back and forth in these passions and in these worldly ways. In verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy. This is such a great verse. Because of the great love which he loved us. Even when we were dead, even when we had eaten so much that we were fat and couldn't even move anymore and we just hung upside down like we were left for dead, God in his great mercy, when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, how this isn't your home anymore, because in Christ, we're seated in the heavenly realms. That's how we do the good works, because we're with him in the works. In verse 7, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So that your end purpose wasn't just to be saved. The goal of your life wasn't just to find salvation and be seated in the heavenly realms. God has more in store for you. He didn't ask you to be on the team so that you would sit on the bench and never play. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see how the whole passage is driving to verse 10. We can do good works. Those of you who know me know I love Luke, and chapter 6 and verse 45 is a verse that I've quoted quite often. Some people get confused and they say, well, how, you know, okay, now I want to do good works. How does this work out? Look in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what do we know about doing good works? It comes from your heart. God transforms this. And then before you know it, how come I'm speaking differently than I ever did before? Because he transformed this, and it's taken root here in your mouth, right from your heart to your mouth. How come my hands now are acting differently? Because he's transforming you from the inside out. That's what I love about verse 10 right here. Then he says this, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. This is just a simple action. Yeah, God put all this in motion. It's as if Paul is saying this in parentheses. Oh, by the way, right, when the Lord spun all of this stuff into being, he prepared this stuff for you already. Can you imagine how sweet that is? The people that you're going to come in contact with today have been prepared already by the Lord. I love it when things are prepared for me. When I was first married with Elizabeth, she's the only one I've ever been first married to, right? When we were first married, she worked 12-hour night shifts, and I worked during the day, and we had a few hours overlapping, you know, in the morning and at the evening before we were ships passing in the evening and morning. Some of you have that same schedule. That's why I pray so hard for you. But I remember coming home this one evening, and she had prepared, like, this feast. I mean, she normally cooked and prepared a great meal, but we were using tablecloths. I didn't know we had a tablecloth. We were using cloth napkins. You know, I don't want to wipe my mouth with this. It's, you know, we're going to have to wash it. We weren't using plastic. We were using the silverware. You know, we're going to have to wash this afterwards, right? She had prepared it all. I mean, she had my plate arranged. It was amazing. You know, what's the matter? Is something the matter? No, nothing's the matter. Okay, I just love you. And it was just so cool. Woo, man, she loves me. That's great. And we got to the dessert, and she fed me the dessert with a little baby spoon in it. Oh, by the way, because you're too dense to put this together. Like, why aren't we eating with a baby spoon? I'm pregnant, right? Oh, no. You're pregnant. It's worse than something being bad and me messing up, right? It's worse than I thought. You're pregnant. No, what a joy. Every year since then, continual joy. More joy, right? Can you imagine that the same God who spoke the planets into orbit, the same God who separated the sea and the Red Sea, that God has also spun into existence the things that you're going to encounter today? What hope I have for the people I'm going to see. If we see this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, I love this wording. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." See those words that he chose, that he has prepared. This should make us see every situation with new eyes, where every situation is an opportunity for God to be glorified in your life. You think those kids were put there just to annoy you? No. Your children are there so that God can be glorified in your relationship with them as you train them up in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think your wife or your husband is just there to tick you off every single day? No. You're married so that God can be glorified in a relationship that represents Jesus and the church. You think that those people that are standing next to you at the HEB checkout line are standing there by coincidence? We need to start seeing that God has a plan and God has a purpose and he's called us to be a part of this plan. We need to start having the eyes of faith that see our lives the way that God sees our lives. And to be honest with you, the way that this verse ends frustrates me just a little bit. You see, he says that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's conditional. What that means is that not everybody is going to walk in them. And from that moment that you accept Christ and that you are a new creation, God puts this stamp of approval upon you that says, you are now a part of my plan through Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, but it's like there's this little addendum after the stamp that says, but not all of you will walk in the good works that I've prepared for you. The truth is, you can be a part of his plan and not access his power. And how horrible would that be if that was the case? Just because God has done this for us, it doesn't mean that we use it. You know, there's a story of a man who saved up all of his money to go on a Caribbean cruise. I'm going to the Bahamas, baby. 7 days. I'm going to see the blue water. I'm going to see where pirates were. So excited. But he spent every cent that he had on the cruise. He didn't have any money for food. So he just determined in his heart, man, I love saltine crackers. I'm going to buy boxes of saltines. I'm going to cram them in my mouth. It works for pregnant women sometimes, so this is going to work for me. He just deduced this. That's from a man, by the way, so just understand that comment. Man, the first day he was right on. I'm cramming these saltine crackers. I'm loving it. That's okay. I'm on a cruise. Everything's going to work out. The second day, he didn't take into consideration how the sea breeze and the salt water were going to make the crackers soggy. He bites into it. It's more the consistency of chewing gum at that point. Thought, oh, this is just gross, but I can still taste the salt. And he choked it down. The third day, he pulled out his cracker and it goes, oop. It didn't make the noise of a force field being let off of the Death Star. But still, the cracker was soggy. It was nasty. It was disgusting. He couldn't even shove it into his mouth. And he was so hungry. And he looked through the windows and he saw the people eating the buffet food. And he finally went to one of the employees that was there. He said, sir, listen, is there any way I spent all of my money to get on this cruise and I have no money for food? Can I at least just wash dishes or vacuum the floor or something? I would even eat the scraps of what is coming off of their plate if you would do me this favor. And the guy kind of scratched his head and he was a little bit bewildered. He said, sir, don't you realize that part of the money pays for all of the food? You are welcome to come in here to this buffet and eat. That's part of the price of your ticket. Well, I should have read the email a little bit better, right? That came. Well, some of you have been placed in God's plan in the most incredible journey that you could ever imagine. But you're not accessing the power of God daily through his word, through prayer, through Christian fellowship to be active in God's plan, to see his works displayed in you. Earlier, I talked about 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says to walk by faith. You see, we have to have those eyes of faith to see, Lord, it's more than just about what I see up here. It's about your work being done. So I wake up and I ask God, what have you prepared for me today? God, who do you want me to talk to today? Because you can be a part of God's plan. So Father, we thank you so much for this thought in Scripture this morning. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that we would be excellent at accessing your power as part of your plan, Lord, to see your works displayed in our life. Father, so that we wouldn't be caught on the second team, never coming off the bench, Lord. But Lord, that we would be a part of everything that you are doing in this world and fulfilled because of your power at work within us. Thank you that we are a new creation in you. Thank you that you have prepared this stuff beforehand, that we should walk in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.